22 minutes after 4 in downtown. Rich Kimble, Brian Stackpole on the Pulse, WZON. Time to talk some baseball. And to do that, we're joined on the phone by our friend Matt Snyder of CBS Sports. Matt, good Monday afternoon.
Same to you. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. We need some outside perspective because it's getting a little nasty around New England with the way the Red Sox are going. What's the perspective from outside New England on what's wrong with the Red Sox and who, if anybody, is to blame for this team's awful showing so far?
A lot. A lot is wrong. It's a mess. I mean, yesterday kind of summed it up, didn't it?
Absolutely.
It's hard to just pinpoint one or two things aside from beating the dead horse that is the starting rotation is pretty terrible. And it's because, you know, Porcello and Kelly and Miley and Masterson have been way worse than expected. You know, going into the year, the discussion was, like, is it okay to not have an eighth and instead have a bunch of twos and threes? But they're all pitching, like, a bunch of fives or, like, not even major league quality pitchers. And then Rodriguez looked great until yesterday and then got absolutely shellacked. So it's, again, the rotation is a complete mess. The Sherrington used to have a surplus of outfielders that a bunch of people might want, but a lot of that dissipated because of Victorino's injury issues and Alan Craig just completely forgetting how to play baseball. Rosny Castillo hasn't exactly been setting the world on fire when he's been playing. So, you know, you didn't expect Pablo Sandoval to be as bad as he was for quite a while. Up until just a few days ago. So, you know, Napoli struggling in a big, big way. It's David Ortiz looking like Father Time starting to catch up with him, which, by the way, Father Time's undefeated, so you can't beat the clock. Like I said, you can just rattle them off and rattle them off and rattle them off. If you're going to blame anybody, you start with the manager and then you go higher up and look at Sherrington. They did win the World Series in 2013, but other than that, they've been pretty terrible ever since he took over.
Well, and you put together an odd team that's a mix of a few veterans who've been there a while, a few veterans who've come in from outside, and some young, very untested guys, and then brought in a guy like Hanley Ramirez and stuck him in an uncomfortable position, and then I guess we shouldn't be surprised that he looks lost and quite often disinterested out there.
Yeah, true. I mean, it probably would have been better off to try to move him to third and not sign Sandoval and use that money for pitching, but it looks like they were content to try to just get a bunch of ground ball pitchers because studies have shown that the strike zone is getting lower and lower. And so they got a bunch of guys who were, I remember after it was the winter meetings last year, after they acquired those guys, they wrote an article about how they had like five of the top 10 ground ball pitchers in majors. And so, between Bogarts at short, Pedroia at second, it looked like they were going to have a good infield and you just try to get ground balls and, that's how they were going to survive. It hasn't worked out, though, because those guys haven't missed enough bats. They've been far too hittable. And then when you put it in play to the outfield, and Hanley, you're going to try to teach a guy to play outfield when he's never played before. Most of the time it works out okay if he's a good athlete, but Fenway is the hardest left field there is because of the monster and because of the area where the grandstand kind of juts out in left field almost to the foul line past third base. So it's a tough place to learn it. He's trying to learn on the fly. It's just, in hindsight being 2020, again, you wonder about making those signings when the offense is already in decent shape and instead of focusing on pitching.
Well, let's look around at some of the other action in baseball. We saw here in New England a Blue Jays team that's on fire, 11 straight wins, and they always say you need pitching to win. Maybe not. They've got enough offense that they may be able to do some damage with a rotation that's mediocre at best.
And maybe this is what Sherrington thought was going to be like for the Red Sox.
I think
maybe
so.
He thought, well, we'll out-hit everybody. We'll kind of survive with marginal pitching. But their starting pitching is starting to come around. Burley's been a lot better lately. Sanchez is going to be inconsistent because he's a kid, but he's been fine. Hutchison still has the ability. Ezeari is way up there, but he has the ability to be a good starter for the rest of the year, too. What really does hurt them, Marcus Stroman lost him in spring training to the ACL. I just wonder if because he's not around, the rotation depth will catch up to them. But, man, their offense is just absurd. It's like a video game offense at this point.
We're seeing some reshuffling in the Central Division. The Twins have been playing great baseball, and they had a really rough week, and now the Royals sitting atop the pack and continuing to look like last fall was no fluke.
Yeah, I mean, it's I think if I had to predict right now that division, I'd predict the Orioles, but I wouldn't be confident. I am confident that the Twins are going to fall back, and I still think they'll probably end up in last place, although the White Sox, it doesn't seem like they fixed all their problems with that noteworthy offseason either. But the Indians should be better than this. The Tigers are at least good enough to hang around in contention. And, you know, I like the Royals. I think they're going to be good. But I was just looking actually today, since May 1st, they're 500. So they're surviving mostly on their real hot start, but it counts. And I think that there is something to kind of their confidence and swagger from last year carrying over into this year. I think it's helped them.
We're talking with Matt Snyder of CBS Sports. Boy, we've seen some great pitching, just not in Boston, but Chris Sale on fire of late, Max Scherzer with a near perfection, the job that Chris Archer's been doing down in Tampa Bay. There's been some outstanding pitching performances so far.
Absolutely. Archer's been just out of his mind, almost carrying them as much as you can carry a team throwing once every 5 days, and yet Sale with the strikeouts. He's just so tall and skinny with that spindly frame and throw so hard. I still just get worried every time I watch him pitch. I'm going to be watching like his last pitch of the year. But I mean, there's probably no method to the madness of when or how guys get hurt. The Scherzer outing yesterday was just, I mean, it reminded me of the Corey Kluber outing earlier this year against the Cardinals, where it's just like, you know, who cares if it's not a no-hitter? This is better than most no-hitters. When you strike out 16 and you make the opposing team look just stupid, and the only hit they got, like in Kluber's outing, the only hit he gave up was a ground ball up the middle with eyes. The hit yesterday by Carlos Gomez was just a blooper, 1 foot over Anthony Rendon's glove? It very well could have been a no-hitter. So it's fun if you like pitching. I mean, a lot of casual fans would rather see offense, and I guess then Fenway Park would have been more your speed. But I think a lot of the diehards would much rather watch that Scherzer-type game.
Now, over in the National League, there's a pretty good pitcher if the Reds would use him. What is going on with Aroldis Chapman?
Oh, I know. Last night, I think I told you before, I'm a Cubs fan. So it wasn't so much driving me crazy as I was laughing about it. But if it was somebody else, that probably wouldn't drive me crazy, because I don't understand what the point is of having an elite reliever get up and warm up and then end up bringing in Burke Badenhop. No offense to Badenhop, but he knows he's no Aroldis Chapman. And it's funny how much so much of this old school baseball mentality makes fun of like the stat geeks and the new age stats, and you know, tells them they don't even like the game, they only care about stats. But you know, this is literally managing to a stat. You're letting a stat dictate how you use your guys. Like, if there were no save stats, I have no doubt that Price would have used Aroldis Chapman in the ninth, you know, or in the tenth when he was facing the heart of the Cubs order.
Right.
You know, you've got Rizzo and Bryant coming up, and you're not going to use Chapman? What are you doing?
Well, Cubs are playing great baseball, but man, oh man, St. Louis. I think I saw this morning, I believe they're 24-7 at home right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, I texted my dad and brother about it. I was like, Cubs won six of the last eight and gained a half game. It's like, what can you do? And they lose Wainwright, they lose Adams, they lose Holiday. They're getting by with Mark Reynolds at first base. Kind of patchwork at the back end of the rotation. You wouldn't expect Walker's health to hold up all season. You probably wouldn't expect Carlos Martinez to be able to go a full workload because it's his first year in the rotation. But, I mean, the way they do things, they'll probably just bring somebody up, and whoever it is will be awesome the rest of the year. They've put themselves in position to be able to basically play 500 ball the rest of the way and still run away with the division. It's uncanny.
Yeah, there's some great baseball, just not a lot of it within our viewing capabilities here in New England, but we'll enjoy it nonetheless.
I mean, the one thing I'd say about the AL East, though, I know 8 games back is pretty daunting, but there's nobody in that division that I actually trust to be a good team all the time. I mean, we've seen how bad the Yankees can get. The Rays just don't seem to have that much talent, and a lot of their rotations are hurt. The Blue Jays, again, you wonder about the pitching. So I don't think it's likely by any stretch, and I don't love my preseason prediction of the Red Sox winning the division, but I also don't think it's off the table.
I like that. All right, a shred of optimism. Thank you, Matt. We appreciate it.
That's what I'm here for, man.
Excellent. Matt Snyder, CBS Sports. Matt, good talking with you. As always, we'll do it again soon.
Likewise. Have a good one.
Thanks. It's 28 to go till the top of the hour.